We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraw, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. And that's the goal of this program. To learn more about Pastor Jeff and the ministry of Brave, visit our website at bravepastorjeff.com. There you'll find full sermons and other resources to equip you to be a brave warrior. And if you'd like to give a gift to keep programs like this one going strong, you can do that as well. The website again is bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff concludes his message, God's Plan for Marriage, A Vow to Oneness, from the series Family Fortified, to help you discover why God calls us to prefer and bless one another, building love that stands the test of time. Now, here's today's program.
Because of immoralities, each man is to have his own wife and each woman is to have her own husband. That's why God designed marriage. That's why God designed your gender. That's why for most of you that have that sexual desire, God designed it to be in the covenant of marriage. It says this, the husband must fulfill his duty to the wife and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Why? Because you're not your own anymore. When you get married, you chose in oneness to serve the other one in love. So you're not in charge. You're there to serve the other person in every way, including sexual intimacy. This is one that some guys would want as a plaque on their house. But 1 Corinthians 7:5 says, stop depriving one another except by agreement for a time so you may devote yourselves to prayer and come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Here's what he's saying. In a marriage, don't use marriage as a tool to punish one another. In a marriage, sex should be frequent. The only time that it shouldn't be ongoing and regular in a marriage is when both spouses have agreed in this season, no, because we need to devote ourselves more to prayer. We need to seek God together and only then for a period of time so that you can come back together and not be tempted by the enemy. Sex is not a way to say, well, you didn't take out the trash, nothing for you tonight. Nowhere do you find that anywhere in the Bible. And again, if your spouse has been through abuse or hurt or say, I can't get there, then it's your job as the other spouse to encourage them and build them and listen to them and talk to them and over time get to a place where you can show them honor in that way. But it should be ongoing and it should be frequent. And I get this question all the time. How frequent, Pastor? I'm confused. Because I would like to see frequency be every day, and my spouse is kind of on the once a year thing. And then I would say, well, then compromise every other day. We're good, right? I mean, that's kind of the way you work it out. Because again, it's not about you. It's about them. It's about pleasing them. And by the way, God makes it really clear here that sexual fulfillment is good for a woman and for a man. It's to be pleasurable for a woman and a man. Don't buy the lie that it's only pleasurable for men. It's not true. God designed intimacy to be legitimate between a couple that is in covenant, that trusts one another, is honest with one another, values one another, preferences one another. That's just a natural outpouring of what it is. And it should be fun. And it should be pleasurable. I mean, my wife's not here today, but you guys know her. I mean, you see her. She's smiling all the time. That's a big reason why. I mean, she's not embarrassed by that. I'm not embarrassed by that. My kids were embarrassed in the first service, and I told them, that's why you're here. So don't, you know. And I'm not trying to make light of this. I'm just saying that is a God-given gift. And here's what happens. When God gives us a gift, what does Satan try to do? He tries to destroy it. Some of you feel destroyed because in your singleness or in your marriage, you've done some things wrong. And I got news for you. God can redeem all of it through the blood of Jesus. Some of you that are single say, I wish I would have heard this before. I wouldn't have done this. I wouldn't have been in that. Some of you would say, well, it was my dad or my uncle or I didn't have any control over it. I want to tell you something. God can redeem all of it through Christ. He can. Amen? He can. We're going to spend a whole day on that coming on and as to how he can do it because he loves you that much. And he wants you to enjoy what he gave you. And that's why Satan goes to great lengths to use television, to use everything. I mean, you can't see an advertisement for anything without sex trying to be part of what sells it. But here's what you can know from biblical truth. There's no such thing as a pleasurable one-night stand. There's no such thing as a fulfilling, we just met in a bar and now we're great. There's no such thing as sex outside of marriage that's producing what God describes in his word. It doesn't work. It can't, because you can't have relational, emotional, spiritual intimacy. And God's not involved in that. But when you're in the marriage, you can have Holy Spirit worship sex, and God's a part of it, and he designed it, and he said it's good. He's the one that created it. You can't do that apart from a covenantal marriage vow. Amen? And he wants us all to grow in this. Let me give you a fourth one. Because for some of you, like, listening to this, like, oh, I wish I would have known. I mean, how do I even get there? That's why God gave us number four. You're going to have opportunities for oneness every day in your marriage. You're going to have a regular opportunity for prayer. Prayer. Intercede for one another. Intercede for one another. Pray for one another. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will show you great and mighty things you do not know. I'll tell you things about your spouse. I'll tell you things about your marriage. I'll tell you about what you need to change in yourself and who you need to be. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He'll make your path straight. It means this, pray for your spouse. Pray for your spouse. Praying's intimate. And when you pray for your spouse, when I'm talking about praying for your spouse, I'm not praying for, don't pray for your spouse. God, change them. Just pray for your spouse. Pray blessing over your spouse. Pray favor over your spouse. Pray that God would move in your spouse's life. Pray that God would open their hearts to all the things that he wants to do in and through them. I mean, pray for them. Pray for how they're parenting, or pray for their relationship with you, and pray for areas that you see that they need growth in and what God's revealed to you, and just ask God to move on your behalf for them. Here's why you pray for your spouse. You can't change your spouse. Did you know that? That's totally free of charge. It may be the most important point I tell you all day. You can't change your spouse. You can't change your spouse by talking to them, and you certainly can't change your spouse by nagging them. A nagging wife is like a constant dripping. It's better to live on the corner of a roof than in a house with a contentious wife. You can't change your husband. You should have been a brave. You need to hear. Don't do that. Just pray for your husband. Don't tell your wife on the way home. Did you hear what Pastor Jeff said about frequency? You need to get, don't do that. You pray for your spouse. You love your spouse. You exhort your spouse, right? Pray for them. Number two, I would say pray with your spouse. That's difficult. For some people that are loquacious and colloquial like I am, it's easy for me to come up with words and speak. I like to do that. For a lot of guys, they're just not that way. A lot of guys, you work with your hands, you work with your mind, you don't work with your mouth, you hear your wives talk, they pray these long, colorful prayers, you're like, I can't do that. I can't pray with my wife. And just so you know, we speak totally different languages. Did you know that? Every marriage thinks they have a communication problem. You don't have a communication problem. You're two different genders. You speak different languages, period. I mean, I've taken 4 years of Spanish, I've taken 3 years of Greek, and I've taken 2 years of Hebrew. I've been trying to learn the language of a woman for over 2 decades, and it's way harder. I mean, let me give you a couple examples from our marriage. I mean, I could spend 4 days with my wife on a vacation with just the two of us, have the best time of our lives. We're totally connected. We come home from the trip. We're holding hands as we land in DIA. It's never been better. Go to bed that night, wake up the next day. I go to work. She does her thing with the kids. And I can come home that night. And she might say something to me like this. I just feel like I don't see you enough anymore. And I used to go to logic, like, see you enough anymore. I just spent 4 days. That's 24 hours a day. That's nearly 100 hours. You only had me. Like, can you not? Right? Go to logic. But I know she's not saying that. Here's what she's saying. She's saying, you know, when we were away for 4 days, it was great to just have you. And I value our relationship so much. Do you value our relationship like that? Because it would be really good if while we're home, we could have that kind of relationship. And I'd like to be able to talk to you a little more than what I'm getting to do. And today was really hard for me because you were gone all day. And if you would have been here, I would have had a lot better time. Do you feel the same way I do? Well, why didn't you just say that? Do you understand what I'm saying? And guys, we talk different than ladies. Ladies, listen to me. We just are quick to say things. Like, don't ask your husband, does this outfit make me look fat? Because he might answer you.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, God's Plan for Marriage, A Vow to Oneness, from the series Family Fortified, helping you discover why God calls us to prefer and bless one another, building love that stands the test of time. We'll return to his teaching in a moment, but before we do, We want to help you be prepared to go boldly against the flow of culture and unapologetically take a stand for kingdom values. And we invite you to become a Brave Warrior today by signing up for emails from Pastor Jeff. You'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Now, let's return to Pastor Jeff and hear more of today's Bible teaching.
And guys, we talk different than ladies. Ladies, listen to me. We just are quick to say things. Like, don't ask your husband, does this outfit make me look fat? Because he might answer you. Sure. I'm not saying to hurt you, but you wanted to know. I'm just telling you the truth. I mean, so we have to learn each other's language and we have to appreciate each other. But that's why when we pray together, it's not time to come together and pray and then butcher each other. Like, Lord, would you just please change her so much? Would you please change him? He is being such an idiot right now and he doesn't even see. Don't pray that way together. You pray together to bless them. Lord, help me become a better husband, or Lord, help me become a better wife to him, and all those different, pray blessing over each other. And I realize it can be hard. I remember the first time my wife and I prayed together. We were back in Peoria, Illinois. I was in my apartment. We had been friends for a long time. We'd never really prayed together because it's intimate. And I remember I grabbed her hand and said, let's just pray about that. We started praying and we got done praying. She opened her eyes and she's like, did you feel that? That was powerful. And I was like, yeah, baby, that's how I pray, man. And I'm married to a woman that's an intercessor. I'm married to a woman. That's her gift. That's what she loves to do. She prays constantly throughout the day. She'll get down on her knees. If something goes wrong, her first knee jerk is to pray. She loves to pray. We love to pray together. It comes very natural for us. It's part of what we do. And here's the reality. Couples that pray together stay together. And when all those things happen, whether health issues, kid issues, marriage issues, communication, just pray about them. Fight for oneness, but we're just going to get together and pray. Lord, we know you're for us. We know you're for this. We just can't seem to figure out what to do. Lord, give us wisdom. Pray. Pray together. I was in a small group once with a group of guys, and we were talking about praying for our wives, and one guy kept coming back, and he's like, I just can't do it. It's too scary for me. And I'm like, well, are you intimate with your wife? He's like, yeah. I said, well, just make a vow you won't be intimate with your wife till you pray with her. I said, would you do that? He's like, I'm not so sure I want to make that commitment. So he came back the next week and I said, did you do that? He's like, no. I said, come on, make a commitment. You're going to pray with your wife. He's like, okay, I'll do it. He came back the next week. I said, how'd it go? He's like, brother, we prayed and prayed and prayed all week long, right? And that's what it's about. When you get together, something intimate about praying. That's why even for singles, when you pray, just know there's intimacy that happens when you pray. And you need to even be careful about how you do that. But married couples, we don't use the gift that God's given us enough to seek his face in prayer for each other and with each other. And sometimes we're praying by ourselves for our spouse, right? Like, here's what I've learned, and this is over the years kind of pro tip number one for me. When you're frustrated, hurt, angry, sad, or confused in your marriage about something that's happened with your spouse, ask God if you've ever treated him the way your spouse is acting towards you. Meaning, has your spouse ever ignored you or not listened to you or disrespected you or not prioritized you or put other people or things ahead of you or not told you how much they've appreciated you or told you they were going to do something and not do it or been lazy in their service or complained about something that you did? Has that ever happened to you? Then instead of calling them out on what they did wrong, why not go before the Lord and say, Lord, before I say anything, Lord, has there ever been a time that I've complained about you? Lord, has there ever been a time I told you I was going to do something and I didn't do it? Lord, is there ever a time that I've been lazy in my service towards you? Lord, is there anything in me that needs to change that you can change in me? And what I find is those are the best times that I ever hear the Lord. Because when I humble myself and posture myself, I realize this, marriage is not for your happiness. Now you can be happy in marriage and God wants you to be happy in your marriage, but it's not primarily for your happiness. It's for your holiness. And God gave you your spouse and designs all the trials in that for what he's trying to chisel away in your life. And sometimes it's a chisel, and sometimes it's heavenly sandpaper, and sometimes it's a chamois that he's polishing up. But everything that's going on is for you. Well, if I would have known this, I would have never married them. That's why God didn't tell you it was coming. Because I find that when people are giving their vows and they're in love and they're doing all this, which is great, by the way, I'm for that. I'm for marriage. It's beautiful. It's what God designed. But sometimes I think, and for sure in my marriage, that when I was giving our vows and Kim and I were sharing them back and forth and we said our I do's, God was up in heaven like, I got them. Yes. Because he knew we were going to be in covenant together. And by the way, don't ever use the D word in your marriage. Don't ever threaten divorce. It's not an option. You don't get to do that. Now, we'll say this. Listen. Hear me. Don't just hear me. Listen to me. If you're in an abusive relationship, you need to let somebody know so we can get you help. God didn't design you to get abused. You understand? That's not what I'm talking about here. But I am saying, sometimes in a marriage, things are really, really, really uncomfortable. If I would have known this, I wouldn't have got married. Yeah, that's why God gives you vows. That's why you say for richer or for poorer, for better or for worse, till death do us part, sickness and in hell. Why? Because you don't know what's coming. You're just saying, okay, sure, I'll do that. So great. We're going to be so happy. And then you go through that and you realize, okay, this is what was coming. I didn't see it was coming, but we're praying about this. And Lord, show me what you're wanting to change in me. And here's the reality. If you pray and ask God to change you and God sees that he can work on you, he'll take care of your spouse. He'll see your humility in you. Kim and I didn't get off to a great start because both of us thought we were pretty awesome because we had been counseling people as singles. We knew everything there was to know about marriage except for our very own when we got married. And I remember we would go to postmarital counseling. And I remember we would leave the driveway of the guy's house we were going to, who had spent time in the Word, showing us what we needed to preference. And I remember one night leaving, like, that was horrible. He didn't even hear what you were doing. He didn't speak to you at all. All he did was attack me. I'm never going back to that guy. And then the next week we go back and I was sitting there. We get in the car. I'm like, that was awesome. Man, that guy is so smart. And Kim would be looking at me like, hey, how can he even say that about me? He doesn't know me and blah, blah, blah. I'm never going back to this guy again. And what was going on in our life was, we were trying to figure out how to get pleasure in our marriage for us rather than how to serve one another. And he was taking us through scriptures, how to take the plank out of our own eye and how before we take a speck out of another and quit blaming each other and start blessing each other and start doing that. And within a matter of weeks, really, I began to pray about what God needed to change in me and I stopped trying to coach my wife. I was a coach by trade. I thought she liked it. I remember we got in a new range, right, when we got married and was walking in. And this range, you know, four different little gas grills, but there was one that was a boiler range that you'd put on because it had extra heat on it. It was bigger. And one day I came in, she was boiling water and was on the other range. I said, you know, that one right here is for like boiling water. And she looked at me and she's like, seriously, now you're teaching me how to boil water. I'm like, yeah, because, you know, I was coaching every little part of her life because that's what I did. I thought she was appreciating it and she was dying on the inside. And God showed me, quit coaching her and just love her. And at the same time, she was reading a book called The Power of a Praying Wife, which she hated, but she read through the whole thing and did what. So independently of each other, she started praying for me and I started praying for her. She started asking how God could change her. I started asking how God could change me. And that's still what we do to this day. Because even after 20 years, a great love for one another and great build and great intimacy and all those different things, there's still ways that we're growing as to how to do this better with each other. And I know I still have to change and she knows she still has to change. And that's what makes marriage beautiful. Because when you go through those things and you're still cemented together, there's a depth of love that you can't even imagine exists. Do not believe the lie, people. Single people have it all, man. It's best. Get all you can while you're young. No. Not biblically. Biblically, marriage is where you get it, and it gets better and better and better and better and better over time. Amen? That's the way God designed it. That's the way he designed it. There's so many times that we've done marital counseling and we're sitting there and I'm going through the text or my wife's going through the text. And there's times where I'm talking to the guy about what a man needs to be. And as I'm saying it, I'm thinking to myself, you haven't done that very well. And my wife's sitting next to me and her eyes are piercing through the back of my head. As soon as we get done counseling, I'm looking at my wife. I'm like, I know. That's a growth area for me. I'm really sorry. I need to get better at that. I mean, I know what I was telling him was true, but I still haven't arrived there. Same for her. We're both give each other grace to do that. And every married couple we've met with, where you hear one person complain about this, the other person complain about this, the other, it's like, y'all are perfect for each other. God's building a work. He's shaping it. He's doing all that. Well, how do I know I married the right person? Because you gave vows and you're in covenant before God. So you totally did. So quit looking around. That's how I know. Amen. Pray for one another. Intercede for one another. And then here's the final one. I mean, if you're listening and valuing one another, you're honoring and preferencing one another, you're intimate by trusting one another, you're praying and interceding for one another. This is the most beautiful one of all. Like, well, we haven't lived that way, Pastor Jeff. And if we would have done this from the get-go, maybe things would have been different. And or I tried to do it, my spouse did, and then it didn't work out well. And I just don't know what to do. Like, what do I do? How do we get better? Or my marriage is good, but I want it to be even better. Here's your final opportunity. And I love this. For a vow to oneness, you have a regular opportunity for forgiveness. Release one another. release one another. That's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness means to untie. Even in the Lord's Prayer, we're praying, Lord, forgive me in the same way you see me forgive somebody else. Lord, forgive me in the same way that you see me forgive my spouse. It means you can be absolutely right and you can lose at the same time if you don't get this. You release the other person. You don't hold it over their head. Well, I didn't know you were going to be like this, and I didn't know you did that. Doesn't matter. I forgive you. I totally forgive you. And by the way, there's nothing on this side of heaven that you can't forgive, because God in his perfection and his eternality came here, who in every way was perfect and yet forgave you. And he forgave a bigger debt than anyone has ever had against you. So you as a Christian do not have the ability to not forgive somebody else. Forgiveness is foundational. It should be ongoing. It is regular. And forgiveness of your spouse can cause more unity and intimacy than being right. Let me give you a pro tip on this. A couple things. One, your spouse doesn't need to ask to be forgiven.
Well, as soon as they ask, as soon as they tell me they were wrong, I'll give it to them. But they don't even see that they did wrong.
They don't need to see that they did wrong. You saw that they did wrong. You felt that they did wrong. So just forgive them. They don't need to come ask for forgiveness. They offended you. So forgive them before the Lord. And number two goes along with it. Your spouse does not have to be told everything that you forgive them for. That was a good day today. Yeah, but before we go to sleep, there's six things you need to know that I forgave you for today that you were unaware of. Are you ready? Don't do that. That's holding them over your head. Now, I realize when somebody hurts you, it's hard to forget it. I'm not asking you to forget it, but forgiveness means I'm not bringing it up again. There's some of you that have situations in your marriage that happened 3 months ago, 3 years ago, 30 years ago, and it still comes up every Easter, every Christmas, every Thanksgiving, every summer, every time you're going to visit your in-laws, every time you have a conversation about whatever, comes up, because remember the time that, stop it. If you've truly forgiven somebody, hand them over to the Lord, and then you can say this, Lord, I truly, by my will, I am forgiving them. I'm having a hard time dealing with this. It's really hard. My emotions haven't caught up with the truth. Can you work on me? Can you show me how much you've forgiven me so that I can truly feel the forgiveness I'm extending? Because in a marriage, you need to practice ongoing forgiveness. And let me say this, to the extent that your sin has been public, you need to ask for forgiveness publicly. There's times I've gone to my wife and I've said, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? There's times where I've acted out of line in front of my children and I brought my children in and said, hey, what you just saw me do was totally wrong. I should have never spoken to your mom that way or did that. And I need you to hear what I'm about ready to say to her. And ask for forgiveness in front of them so they can see it modeled. Nobody has a perfect marriage. I don't have a perfect marriage. You can't have a perfect marriage, but you can have a growing, thriving marriage if you apply these things. I mean, these five things bring a lot of oneness to a whole different level. And the beauty of this, you're going to get an opportunity to practice them all this week if you're married. And if you're single, you can practice a lot of them, right? You really can. And singles, just listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. If you're dating somebody, and they don't value you, they don't listen to you, they don't preference you and honor you, you don't trust them, you don't pray together and they don't intercede for you, you know they're not going to church, you're having to drag them there, they don't forgive you, they don't release offense, it's always on you, that's not a person you want to spend the rest of your life with. It's just not. And I love you enough as your pastor to tell you that. Because a wedding day... wedding days are all good. I mean, the worst thing can happen is maybe the cake falls or somebody didn't got something on their outfit or whatever. Marriage, if you don't get these things right, can be really, really difficult. Don't get married because you're miserable. You can be 10 times more miserable in a marriage than you can as a single if you marry the wrong person. You really can. And the beauty of this, and I'm looking forward to continuing this series because I want you to know, like I know I'm talking to a variety of different people. I'm talking to young singles, older singles, divorced, widowed, married, happily married, married, and very difficult married. I know that's true of all of you. There's just different people here, but these truths are still truths. And God wants to build it, but I want to tell you, we'll get to a place, we'll spend a whole weekend on it, how God wants to restore this.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, God's Plan for Marriage, A Vow to Oneness, from the series Family Fortified. Helping you discover why God calls us to prefer and bless one another, building love that stands the test of time. Your support keeps this program going out to people across the nation, challenging them to boldly fight for the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lifetime. To give a gift of support today, go to BravePastorJeff.com. Before you go, we want to invite you to visit Brave Church at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit BraveChurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.